Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
There was a couple that went on a missions trip to Korea. And while they were there being walked around these various rural locations in the nation, they saw a father and his son working on a particular rice paddy. The old man, he guided the heavy plow as his young son actually stood in front of it pulling this plow. "I guess they must be very poor," the man said to the missionary who was the couple's guide and interpreter. "Yes," replied the missionary, "that's the family of Chinevi. When the church was built, they were eager to give something to it, but they had no money. And so as they looked around and they tried to determine how it was that they could help support God's work in their community, they sold their ox and gave the money to the church. And so this spring, they're pulling the plow themselves." After a long silence, the woman said, "That was a real sacrifice." And the missionary responded, "They don't call it a sacrifice. They're just thankful that they had an ox to sell." These are the kinds of things that people do when they understand what Jesus has done for them. These are the kinds of sacrifices or generous gifts that people are willing to bring before God when they truly believe that Jesus changes lives. When they understand that their community needs to be reached for Jesus and they see something that is being done that they believe is going to help accomplish that purpose, they reach out beyond themselves and they give of themselves. This may seem like a crazy thing to us, you know, akin to somebody that feels that God is telling them that they need to sell their house or sell their car or something like that. Just an unimaginable sacrifice that most of us would say that can't possibly be God. Can't possibly be God. And yet the interesting thing is that Jesus modeled sacrifice. He showed us what it was to love the world so much, to love you so much, that he would sacrifice himself for you. And so I have to wonder, as I hear stories like this of Christians around the world who have determined that the people learning about Jesus is so important, they'll almost give up their livelihood to ensure that the gospel can be heard. Are we willing to do that? We as people that maybe shy away from just walking up to a friend and saying, "I want to tell you what God has done in my life this week." Would we sacrifice as they have? Today marks the last Sunday in a series of messages that we have been going through called Better. And in these messages, we have been learning about how there is actually a use for the Old Testament, despite what a lot of Christians like to say. Right, a lot of Christians, they like to ignore this first big chunk. Like, I still haven't gotten to the end of it. They like to ignore all this because they say, well, this is the new stuff. This is the good stuff. This is the stuff about Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he fulfilled all of this, so I don't need any of this. But as we've been discovering throughout the Old Testament, we can learn more about who Jesus is. We can get to know him better. Better through the stories of the Old Testament. And so today, as we come to the final one of these stories that we're going to be looking at, but by no means the final place that we see Jesus in the Old Testament or get to know him and God the Father better, as we look at today's passage found in the book of Genesis, it's my hope that we will begin to understand the depth of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And that we'll understand that he made that sacrifice so that he could lift our burdens off of us and take them upon himself. That we deserved the punishment for our sin, for our rejection of God. And yet Jesus came and sacrificed himself so that we could be free of that burden, so that we could have life everlasting as we live in a relationship with God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet we all know people who, despite the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, despite what he has offered them, insist on going through life in their own strength, in their own ability, taking the burden, the weight of all that they've done, the weight of just this life in general upon themselves. For some of us, it's friends, coworkers, neighbors. Others of us, it's even closer. Some of us, it's family, right? Some of us, it's children. Some of us, it's brothers and sisters, or it's even spouses. People who need the love of Jesus. They need to understand that he cares for them. Because Jesus made a sacrifice, and we need to let the world know. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the sacrifice that you made in sending your son for us because of how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us. And God, I just ask that we won't give up on you, on your Holy Spirit's ability to bring those around us to you. And Lord, that we won't give up on our responsibility. The responsibility to let these people know how you've impacted us, to let these people know what you've done for them. How you can change their lives, how you, Jesus, change everything. Help us not to neglect that responsibility, but help us to be so impacted by the depth of your sacrifice that we can't help but share it in the world. So, Lord, we pray this today in your name. And today, Lord, I ask that you'll take the feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something that is worthwhile through the power of your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at what is possibly one of the hardest passages in the Bible for us as Western believers, and I think for any normal human being to read and to understand. And yet its significance for us all is huge. To understand this passage a little bit, we need to understand the significance of Isaac and of his father Abraham. Because maybe you don't know the story of who Abraham and Isaac are. And so let me share just a little bit, really briefly here, an overview. Abraham is one of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And so one day God appeared to Abraham and he told him to pack up his family, pack up his belongings, and move into some nation that he would show him. Just move over here. And so Abraham obeyed, and then over a course of events, God told him, I'm going to bless you, and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars and a great nation. And through you, the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And so Abraham believed that, but there was a problem. And the problem was is that he was really old, and his wife was really old, and they had no children. In fact, they had never been able to conceive, never been able to have children. His wife was barren. And yet God assured him that he would be made into a nation, and sure enough, Isaac was born, this child of the promise of God, a miraculously born child. This was going to be the child through whom God said, this is the kid through whom I'm going to grow you into a nation. And then we come to Genesis chapter 22. If you have your Bibles with you today, you can feel free to open to that chapter there, Genesis chapter 22. If you're on a mobile device here this morning, you can go to your web browser and head over to ascc.life. And when you go there, you'll see that there is a message notes tile that you can go ahead and click on and follow along with our message today. You can read the passages that we're going through. You can also take your own notes. And so I encourage you to do that, whether you're at home following along on Facebook or you're here right now, just go ahead and go over there. And we're going to read this together. Genesis chapter 22. And I warn you, this is a difficult passage. It's one that you may have to reserve your judgment on because it doesn't make sense when you think of a loving God. And yet this is what happened. We read this. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What would be going through your head right now? So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offering shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now we got to acknowledge a few things here. We got to acknowledge the fact that child sacrifice is not something that God is behind. Right, like God wasn't running around going, yes, Abraham, I actually am going to want you to kill your son. Just go ahead and do that. That's not something that God is into. But then we also have to recognize the emotional turmoil that God caused Abraham. And we think to ourselves, God would never allow that. God is loving. God is just. God is caring. Why would he go and tell Abraham to sacrifice his son, even if it was just a test? What kind of God would do that? I mean, these are the things that have to run through our heads as we read this, right? Like, if you have a heart, if you have a mind, you're wondering to yourself, what have I gotten myself into with this God? One of the interesting things is this is the only time in the Bible that God ever has a test like this that he gives someone. Ever. It's also just a very interesting passage in the way that everything unfolds, isn't it? I mean, there he is. He promises Abraham, Isaac is the one through whom the nations of the world are going to be blessed. I'm going to establish a nation through him. Now go sacrifice him. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that Abraham went to sacrifice his son, fully believing that even if he went through with it, that God would raise his son from the dead, because his faith in God was so great. And yet there's something that we can learn here. You know, I think that sometimes we can have a hard time relating the sacrifice that God the Father went through to give his only son for us, because it's God. But when we look at this and we see a father, a human father, having this go on with his son, I think we can relate to that a little bit better, can't we? Fact of the matter is, there's many parallels between Isaac and Jesus. Many of them. And this test, it has great significance and great importance. I mean, God is essentially telling Abraham, hey, I want to find out, is your faith founded in all the promises of blessing and greatness that I've given you? Or is your faith in me based in me as God and in who I am and in what I can do? Where do you place your trust? Where do you have your faith? But for us today, we can see echoes of this story in Jesus. This here is a foreshadowing for Jesus. I mean, think of it this way. Isaac, the only son of Abraham, a child of promise, is led to the altar. Jesus, the only son of the Father, a child of promise, is led to the altar. Isaac, born miraculously to a barren woman in her old age. Jesus, born miraculously to a virgin girl in her young age. Isaac, a man who a lot of Jewish historians would say, or theologians would say, was in his 30s. Jesus, a man in his 30s, both led to the altar. Isaac, who on that three-day journey from where their family was camping to Mount Moriah, was seen as dead by his father. And Jesus, who for 3 days was dead. Isaac, who carried the timber, the wood that would be used to sacrifice him on his shoulders up the mountain. Jesus, who carried that cross on which he would be crucified on his shoulders as he went up that hill. Isaac, who after being seen as dead was brought to life, and Jesus, who after being dead was brought to life. The parallels here are impossible to miss. As we look at Isaac and we begin to understand a little bit more, you know, Abraham went through all this. What was God going through? What was God going through at this moment? Because of Isaac, the nations would be blessed through Abraham and through Isaac. And the interesting thing is that blessing would come through Jesus, who 2,000 years later would be born and take upon himself the sins of the world and offer freedom and life and a relationship with God to all who would put their trust in him and choose to follow him. How interesting it is that as Isaac was going up that hill, looked at his father and he said, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham, knowing that at least at that moment, Isaac was the lamb, what did he tell him in verse 8? He said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And then as he was raising his knife to kill his son, God intervened and there was a ram provided. And see, just as that ram was sacrificed in the place of Isaac, so Jesus was the lamb that God provided for himself, a perfect and whole offering that once for all time would die in our place so that we could have life. See, we need to understand as Christians that God sent Jesus to die as a sacrifice so that you and I could find life and freedom. God sent Jesus to die as a sacrifice so you could find life and freedom. Parents, think for a moment what this would be like. Sending your son or your daughter or your grandchild, whoever it may be that's closest to your heart, sending them to the altar. In fact, it being your hand that seals their fate. Think of the pain involved in this. Yet God was willing to go through that for you. It's interesting. There's probably nothing and no one in this world that you would allow your child even to suffer for. Even with the promise that it would all turn out okay, you know, even with the promise that they'd be given back to you, that everything would be great at the end, you probably would still say, forget it. Because I know that would be what my heart would say. And yet in Abraham, you see this total obedience. And you get a sense of what it was like for God the Father to send his son to die for you and for me, so that we could have life. What's interesting is he did this to bring a rebellious people to himself. People guilty of treason against their God. People who had once been at one with God and yet severed the relationship because of their desire to be greater than God or to be equal to God. But from the very beginning, God had a plan in mind. When he created you, he knew he'd have to send his son to die for you if he ever wanted a relationship with you. And he did. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, victory has been won over sin and death. And there is hope for you. And there is hope for your loved ones. Because Jesus loves you and Jesus is alive. And he did it all for you. At the end of this message, we're going to have a chance for you to pray and to commit your life to Jesus. And maybe you're here and you're like, I want to know more before I do anything, but this is intriguing to me. Please find me or someone else in this congregation or comment online so that we can follow up with you and answer questions that you may have. Or maybe you're here and you're like, yes, I do believe this. I've determined in my heart that I want to follow Jesus. If that's you, I want to welcome you to the family of God right now. You need to know that you are loved and that you're welcome here. We want to know about this commitment that you've made, but I encourage you at the end of this message to pray with us, because sometimes that verbal commitment is the thing that helps us to hang on, that we can mark on our calendars and say, this is the day that I for sure walked into the arms of Jesus. And if you persevere in this commitment that you made, you can rest easy knowing that you have a relationship with God and you have everlasting life. Friends, we need to understand that Jesus' sacrifice has saved you. If he went through all of this for you, then you need to understand and you need to think, what are you willing to do to share his message of hope? If Jesus went through all this sacrifice for you and for those that you love and for those in this town and for those abroad, what are you willing to do to share his message of hope? Because what did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, go and make disciples. Baptize them, teach them. That's what we're called to do. I know it can be scary, right? You think, yeah, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. How do I know that anybody's actually going to come to Jesus? How do I know nobody's going to yell at me? That day after God provided a ram in Isaac's place, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And as we're faithful to God, as we place our trust in him, as we, in our understanding of the sacrifice Jesus made for us, as we go out to share that message of hope, we need to understand that God will provide the answers, God will provide the words, God will provide the courage that we need, and that God provides the growth when we go out and are faithful to share the hope of Jesus with our friends and family and neighbors. But you may be thinking, you know, I've tried all this stuff and nothing happened. Or, you know, this is more scary than it is anything, and really, what's it going to do for me? And if you're here and you're thinking that, I want you to remember the testing of Abraham. And ask yourself, do you trust in what it is that God has promised to do for you? You know, in heaven, in everlasting life, in a relationship with Jesus? Is that what your trust is founded in? Or is your trust in God himself? Is your desire to serve God himself, or is it just to get what you can get out of God? Because if your desire is truly for God himself, then you'll act in obedience and respond in obedience to the sacrifice Jesus has made, and you'll allow God to take control and work in your heart and life as you go out to share this message of hope. And he's going to draw people. He's going to grow within them the faith that is required for them to come to him, not you. You just have to be faithful in sharing the message of the gospel. So we see God sent Jesus to die as a sacrifice so that you could find life and freedom. And Jesus' sacrifice has saved you. If you went through all of that, what are you willing to do to share his message of hope with those around you? And so consider today, who are the people in your life that you're connected to or that you drive by or walk by each and every day who are just going it alone when Jesus has offered so much hope and so much help and so much life? And what would begin to happen if you went and invited some of these people for coffee? Began to listen to the stories of their life and began to share the story of your life and your walk with Jesus with these people respectfully. What began to happen if you began to pray for people at the grocery store or for your server at the restaurant? If you began to invite them and other people to come to your church and just explaining, hey, it's not like you expect. It's not like what you see on TV. It's not like the picture you probably have in your mind. But I hope that you'll come with me. In fact, I'll pick you up. If each of us in this church began to focus our attention rather than on ourselves and what we can get out of coming to church and what songs that we like and you know what our vacation's going to look like and how we can, you know, see everything work out the way that we have in our minds for church, what would happen if we began to look outward and think, how can I change and impact my community for Jesus? If we began to look outward and actually love the unchurched whom Jesus loved so much that he was willing to die for them, how would Pincher Creek change in 6 months if we all began to go out and share this message of hope? In a year, in 5 years, in 10 years. As you begin to picture that, as you begin to think of the ways that God could change Pincher Creek, could change the communities around here, could bring hope to the hopeless and love to the unloved. So you begin to think about that. If that is a picture that in your mind is something worthwhile, then here's what I would encourage you to do this week. First of all, consider, are you willing to obediently share your faith if there's nothing in it for you? If you share your faith and it's like you're sharing your faith with a brick wall over and over and over and over again, are you willing to keep on doing it? If you're sharing your faith and you're like, I get nothing from this. Nobody says thanks. Nobody's, you know, clapping their hands at me for my awesome evangelistic efforts, anything like that. I don't even get a good feeling inside when I'm doing this. Are you still willing to be obedient to the call? That's the first action step. Are you willing to obediently share your faith if there's nothing in it for you? And secondly, here's my challenge to you today. Tell people about Jesus. Engage in spiritual conversations. Invite people to church and to our Easter extravaganza. I mean, if you need an excuse to invite people, tell them there's free stuff next Sunday. Food and all kinds of fun stuff for your kids. Invite them to church. Share with them what Jesus has done in your life. Offer to pray for them. Be attentive. Give a smile. And know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, in their life, and all around this community. Because Pincher Creek is a place that is filled with darkness. The number of people that I hear who visit our town, who come and talk to me, and they say, this town has such a weight hanging over it. And yet the Holy Spirit is at work, breaking through that darkness. And he's tasked each one of us with our role, which is to tell others about the hope that they can have in Jesus. No matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice, because Jesus gave it all for you, what are you willing to give for him? Heavenly Father, I just thank you today that you were willing to send your son for us all. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Lord, that because of you, because of your just desire to create love and harmony, that you created us, even though you knew that it would bring discord, Lord. That out of that great desire, not need, but just a desire to extend the perfect harmony that exists within yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one God, that you would send your Son to die for us on that cross and 3 days later to rise again so that we could find hope in you and be brought into a relationship with you and understand what it is to have fullness of life. And an everlasting life in the Spirit. God, give us the courage that we need to go forward and kindly and graciously and with great wisdom begin to share our faith. And Lord, I ask that you will, as we know that you will, hold up your end of the bargain and cause the growth that we so desperately want to see in this community. Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us, and we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.